Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, welcome. The playoffs began officially for the Golden State Warriors yesterday, and they officially picked up a win. And they didn't even officially play great. Well, I think officially that's about as good as Portland can play. At least until Nurkic gets back, that would be a wrinkle that we did not see from them in game one. Draymond Green. That's about as good as anyone can play a basketball game. That was absolutely a virtuoso, solo, defensive performance that in my life, I don't think I'm going to forget him going up and beating 2-1 fast breaks to the rim with an at-the-rim block. It was amazing. What Draymond Green did last night, there wasn't an awful lot of amazing to go around. There really wasn't. Look, it was a good, solid Warrior playoff debut for Kevin Durant. There's no doubt about that. Look, the team shot 53%, but no one really caught fire. They didn't get to 30 assists. They didn't start very well. They came out at halftime. They came out refocused, go on, what, a 15-2 run? And that's pretty much where the separation occurred during the game. But Curry had a quiet 29. Durant, just a little bit louder with 32. I think the Warriors played like a C-plus, B-minus game last night. And they won it pretty comfortably when it was all said and done. 121-109, 19 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, just missing a triple-double with 3 steals, only 1 turnover, and Draymond Green with 5 blocks in the game. Here are 2 of them.
Now Lillard takes a 3 over Zaza, hits the rim, bounces high, tipped in the air. Harkless had it knocked away by Curry, picked up by Thompson. Thompson to the right side, throws it backwards, it goes to the backcourt, it's picked up by Lillard, 2-on-1 with Vonleh to the rim, blocked by Draymond, he knocked it away, what a block, he says get that out of here, Curry to Thompson, corner 3, no good, and the rebound taken away by Portland.
By the way, had Thompson hit that 3, you probably measure it on the Richter scale, that's how loud Oracle would have been. Was Oracle loud last night? I'm telling you, it was. I got people who are watching the game on their couch in their living room on TV telling me the game I'm at sitting in isn't as loud as I'm telling you it is. Thank you very much. Tell me more about the movie you haven't seen or the book you haven't read. Please, I am here. You don't. Here's the thing. The person who's there gets to tell you how loud it is, not the person who's at home telling the person who's there how loud it is. Let's be completely honest. I urge you to stop talking about buildings you're not in. I can't urge you enough. Was it as loud as before? Was it as loud as we believe? Was it as loud as 2014-15? No. And it won't be again. It won't be that loud again, not without another 40 completely useless seasons of basketball stacked on top of each other. You got to be lost in the woods for a better part of a half century in order to get that loud in any building in any moment. So just stop. Oracle was plenty loud last night. And Klay Thompson, who's played one of the least memorable games of his entire career. Klay was a non-factor last night, and he was a non-factor on both ends. That's the one, like, surprising, disappointing thing. It's one thing for Klay to not have a big scoring night, but it's another for whoever he's guarding to totally go off. And I'll tell you, Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, they were fantastic. I mean, just fantastic. The Warriors were lucky a little bit to overcome their individual efforts last night for Portland. You know, what really gets Oracle rocking? What really makes that crowd go nuts? Well, we've identified these things. It's a Curry 3. Then it's like a Klay Thompson 3. Then it's a 3 from anyone else. And then dunks and blocks. That's what make that building go crazy. And most importantly, hot starts. Hot starts are important for that building. You know, that Warriors crowd responds to what it sees. And when they come out on fire, they stay on fire as a crowd all night long. They really do. Gianna, good to see you. How are you? Things good?
Hi, yeah.
Fantastic.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, you ever go to a concert and like right out of the rip, they just come out with just hit after hit after hit. Like imagine going to see like Tom Petty and he starts with American Girl, goes right into Free Falling and then comes back to Breakdown. Like that's a message.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is not a normal show. This isn't a Thursday nighter. This is a Saturday night. I'm here to melt your face. Strap yourself in.
It sets the tone for sure.
Right. You're going to go see Metallica and they open with Master of Puppets 1 and then, I don't know.
Enter Sandman.
Yeah, Enter the Sandman. Sure. Like those are three songs you could have encored with, much less start all of your show with it. Maybe it was the weather that kept Klay from playing very well. It was a gray, rainy, ugly day. So we didn't get Master of Puppets, Enter Sandman, and 1 to open the show. But when it was said and done, that was a great concert. And Oracle is a different beast in the postseason. And I think the Warriors were a little concerned that that 12:30 start might tamp down the in-arena enthusiasm and the lousy weather. Well, they don't have anything to worry about. Those fans who were there, they got excited when the Warriors gave them an awful lot to be excited about. And I'll tell you, early on, the Trailblazers gave you as much to be as excited about or worried about as the Warriors were giving you. I mean, every single time. It looked like the Warriors were going to separate. Someone hit a big three, like an off-balance corner three. Trailblazers came to play. I respect the hell out of it. I really, really do. I was impressed with their backcourt. How could you not be? You got the best backcourt in the world right here in Stephen and Klay. And the best backcourt in the world was the second best backcourt in that game last night. I'm not saying they're the second best. They're going to be second best in game two. But it was Lillard and McCollum who put up Splash Brother-like numbers, not the Splash Brothers. It's an off day for the San Francisco Giants, and that's probably a good thing for them because off is the only word to describe them right now. They are 5-9 to start the year. Matt Cain against Jason Hamill. That'll happen tomorrow. Giants have dropped 3 out of 4 at home to the Rockies. They're on their way to Kansas City. And as they're on their way to Kansas City, you got Johnny Cueto talking about how he dreams of wrapping up his career one day in the American League because when it comes to National League, he's been there, done that. Bah. That's not good.
I'm gonna tell you, don't do that.
I'm going to tell you right now, Johnny Cueto is the best thing that they got in terms of win day and has been for 2 years. Madison Bumgarner's so good, he intimidates his own lineup. So, I mean, I give the Giants about a month here. And this is, Gianna, this is either in the next month, they will reveal to us that this was nothing more than a bad start and everything might be fine, or a month from now, we're all acknowledging that the window for championships has closed. That's where this is going. There's no like, oh, well, if they don't win it this year, you know, it's an odd year. Wait till 2018. No, that's all done.
Yeah, that was done.
That is all done. That's all over right now. What you're seeing is a team that thought it had another window, a year, a season open on its window with all of its parlor tricks to fill out a lineup with below average players. But for some reason, they show up here and now all of a sudden Marco Scudero hits like Ty Cobb. Yeah, that doesn't happen over and over again. And for the Giants, you know, give them credit, it did. It happened for them over and over and over again. Technically, it happened 3 times where I am dead honest sure that in all 3 years, the Giants won the World Series. They weren't even close to being the best team in baseball. But they won the series. I take nothing away from them. But they won with the bare minimum. A whole lot of pitching, the bare minimum of offense. And now that the pitching is starting to go, when all you got left is a bare minimum of offense, that's when you start starting – 5-9 on your year. By the way, that's four games. There's plenty of time left here. You know, I mean, but is this a little bit overreactionary? I'll even concede that. But I'll also tell you that when I heard Jared Parker broke his clavicle, I thought, great! That's the best news the Giants could have. A broken clavicle means you can't put him back in the lineup. You're winning right now. That broken clavicle should be up for the Willie Mack Award. Might be the biggest thing to happen. That guy stinks. Jared Parker stinks, okay? His batting average and his on-base are just two ticks above common pedestrian. Like, we'd have gotten anyone in San Francisco to play left field. So get him off the field. Go get yourself a left fielder. You want to wait around to the deadline? You're probably going to be 10 games under 500? Go ahead. How's that going to go for you? I just watched you get off to a gangbusters first half last year and then totally crap the bed in the second half. If you're going to start this year crapping the bed and then expect it all to get better, you're out of your mind. I'll tell you. You know what the Giants look like right now? They look like the team that Johnny Cueto just took a little mental inventory of and thought, wouldn't mind ending my career in the American League someday.
Go Sharks. Sharks. I don't know. I know for sure we're going to need more goals than no goals. I know that.
Look, I can tell you this right now. I'm not Canadian, not a hockey expert. I like the sport very much, but I don't follow it anywhere near as close as I follow football, baseball, basketball. I watched one or two games in the regular season, four or five actually is more than like the realistic, you know, four or five full games of hockey in the entire regular season. But now that the postseason here is, you know, I'm in. Donskoy, oh. Donskoy did not score. Scar. Nothing. No scar. Last two games. Sharks power play is the reason why they're not getting past Edmonton. They have no power play. Their power play is so busy looking for perfect that it passes up very good four or five different times on its way to perfect, and they haven't found perfect. It is not clicking. Whatever happened in game one, apparently that was the outlier. That was the... That was not the what to expect game. That was the pleasant surprise game. These last two games, Sharks have completely been outplayed. Outplayed, outskated, outphysicaled. At least that's the way it feels on the ice. Everything that the Sharks were from the second period on in game one in Edmonton through overtime is what they haven't been since that game ended. And it's too bad because I really thought, who knows? Maybe they got a shock Edmonton kind of feeling to this series. Not anymore. Did you see Logan Couture licking the hole where his missing teeth used to be?
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the creepiest feelings in the world right there.
That's just weird.
Again, go get your teeth cleaned. You can't stop licking the back of your teeth throughout the afternoon. Knock seven teeth out and tell me if your tongue gets any busier or less busy.
It would just stay there on the gum.
Oh, yeah.
The whole time.
Just all damn day and night long. It was way, way, way too bad. Way too bad that this is the way it all turned out. And, if the Sharks end up winning this series now, I'm going to be surprised. Getting shut out in back-to-back games is not very good. By the way, Chicago Blackhawks, same problem. We got some baseball to talk about this afternoon. We're going to do it with our buddy Keith Law. He's going to join me at 3:45, about a half an hour from right now. Tim Roy is going to come up at 4:30. Adrian Wojnarowski, who is omnipresent when it comes to covering a league very, very well. Adrian Wojnarowski is the best reporter on any beat, probably in America. He is the most dialed-in basketball media person there is. Adrian Wojnarowski already knows who the number one pick is in the draft. And then the number two and the three and the four and the five and the six and the seven. And he will be broadcasting draft picks three ahead of actual real time on the day of the draft. The guy is dialed in. And we're going to talk to him at 5 o'clock today, see his impressions of the playoffs so far. Our pal Bruce Jenkins is going to join us, and then Chris Townsend comes on by 6:15 tonight in 3 hours exactly from right now with the A's Dugout Show. Rangers and A's, A.J. Griffin against Jarrell Cotton. Cotton coming off of his best start of the season. He went 7 innings, only allowed 2 hits. He walked 3. He struck out 6 and got the win. The rain postponed the A's yesterday. The rain did not postpone the Giants. People were like, well, wait a minute. They're sharing the same sky. How is one game rained out and the other not? I think there are two things in play. Number one, the Coliseum doesn't exactly drain very well.
It's, good point.
It is a I guess what's the right way to say this? It is a plumbing challenged facility. It's just the best way to say it. It is a plumbing challenged facility. Even with all of Dave Cavill's beautiful upgrades, when you're walking down to Big Hitterville, like right behind home base, where only the people who spend a lot of money go to sit. Well, that's how we get on the field for when we're down there. So we go down there as well. Share the same hallway as the visiting team does as it walks down. And now, instead of it just being white concrete, totally just, there's absolutely zero character to that hallway for years. Now, all of a sudden, they've got a faux brick facade, which actually makes it look a whole lot nicer. And they've hung up pictures of former, get this, you'll never believe this, former Oakland A's. How about that? They're honoring their past a little bit. And Dave Cavill has really, again, with probably about $600 worth of supplies from a Home Depot, turned a hallway that looked like you were being wheeled to a morgue instead of a major league clubhouse or a field, turned a dank, white, soulless hallway into something that's got a little like, ooh, what's at the end of this?
Yeah, it's got a nice feel as you walk down.
It does. But as you do walk down and you go down those final steps, you are stepping on squishy carpet. Where is this? Is that water? Is that other than water? Is that substance to be named later? Like, there's only so much you can put as much lipstick on the pig as you want. It's still a pig. And the Coliseum, we love her. Don't get me wrong. Still kind of a pig, though. And all I can tell you is that was on opening day when it was like 71 degrees, blue skies, hadn't rained in 3 days in either direction, and it was damp, soggy then.
Right. So you can imagine when it's just getting pounded with a lot of rain.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that had something to do with it, and no one would ever admit this. No one would ever admit this. I really do think that when the good people who run the Coliseum factored in the rain, plus the headache of the Warriors playing at the exact same time, plus Easter Sunday, they're just like, blow the whistle, let's go home.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. We've done the math. The math says, let's just do this some other time. And I think that that's what happened over there. Meanwhile, AT&T Park didn't have a NBA playoff game anywhere next to it. Not yet, anyways. And it's just it handles weather and circumstances and elements much better than the Coliseum does. Given the outcome, I guarantee you that the Giants wish they would have called that one off.
No doubt.
One other thing here that officially deserves opening monologue recognition. We're going to get to some really interesting stuff today. Cueto again going on the American League. We're going to talk a little bit about the Big Three Basketball League, which I hate to say this is going to be dead on arrival. I'll explain that all later. We have a rape case against Ray McDonald officially dropped. We'll get into some details there. And since we're over there in the neighborhood of Tawdry, we thought we'd hang out in the neighborhood for a bit to get the latest teacher having sex with a student story.
God.
I'm telling you, the look on these women's faces in their mugshots is just priceless. And they're better looking women. Like we have another instance with a solid, I don't know, Gianna, it's certainly uncouth to boil a woman down to a number, but I'm just going to show her to you real quick, and I'm going to say, that's an 8.
Yeah, she's attractive. She's very attractive. I saw this story
that is
earlier.
Well, she's a California 6, but she's the rest of the country 8. And let's be honest, we're surrounded by some beautiful women over here, right? Come on.
Well, that's why there's songs written about California girls.
That's right.
It's just shocking that teachers still do. I mean, God. Ugh. When are they going to learn?
If there were a sequence of afternoon drive time radio hosts getting taken out and arrested due to sleeping with a sequence of underage interns, I probably would have received that information and processed it by now and made a couple notes to myself like, don't sleep with an intern.
There's an idea.
Wouldn't that be a good idea? Not to mention, I don't think like our interns, Matt, Greg, would like it very much. You know, so, I mean, there's a couple reasons not to do it. As far as I'm concerned, as far as my career is concerned, I'm not telling you that my career deserves a little bit more thought than her career did, but I put a little more thought into it.
She's a teacher.
She's a teacher.
She's responsible for children. I mean, what more can you say?
In a weird way, aren't I a teacher?
Yes. Yes, Damon, sure. You're a teacher of Damon. Damon's lecture every day, 3 to 7.
Damonisms. Let's go to John in San Bruno. He wants to get in on the Warriors real quick. John, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. You know how Mark Jackson was dead on when he proclaimed that the Splash Brothers might be the best shooting backcourt in the history of the game? Well, Jim Barnett might be also dead on when he said that, you know, based on all his history with the NBA playing and then now broadcasting, that Draymond Green might be the best defensive player he has ever seen. And ever since he said that, Draymond Green has provided us with all this, you know, just amazing defensive prowess. And this performance yesterday probably won the game for us. Without that, I think Lillard and McCollum probably stole that game.
Whatever confidence Lillard and McCollum were building in their in-game performance, Draymond snatched it away from them in just a couple blocks. I really mean it. John, thank you very much for the call. When it comes to who's got a skill set that can't be replaced, Draymond Green is the number one name on the Warriors list of still good. Look, Steph and Clay and KD in odd ways can kind of duplicate each other's performances and numbers. There's nobody out there doing and giving to you the things that Draymond does and gives to you. There's no one. The guy is, you know, what do they call, it's like a beautiful mind. It's like being, he's like defensively three steps ahead of everyone. You know, you were playing checkers, Draymond was playing chess. And there is just something about it to me that is, it's intoxicating. The world decided a long time ago, basketball should be appreciated through the spectrum of offensive evaluation, and pretty much that's just it. That is not it. That is not just it. Before you talk about greatest of all time, though, I would like to say Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. I do want to say Dennis Rodman, too. And the fact that they all three were on a team together was absolutely ridiculous. You know, I don't know if Jordan defended centers like that, because centers aren't like they used to be. And I think because they're not as physically imposing as they used to be overall at the position, it gives Draymond a little bit of an advantage that he would not have had, you know, if he had been born into the game of basketball 3 decades ago. But man, right now, there is nobody who can literally jump into the jersey of all five positions the way that Draymond does. It is spectacular. And the trash talking that he was doing is a dying NBA art form, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. As a matter of fact, if you haven't heard some of these Draymond Green post-game sounds, and then the way that McCollum and Lillard, I'll tell you what, let's call next segment three guys I have infinite respect for based on how they play and what they said after they played, and we'll lay it all out for you next here on 95.7 The Game.
Two-on-one with Vonley to the rim. Blocked by Draymond! He knocked it away! What a block! He says, get that out of here!
Draymond was amazing. He made some tremendous defensive plays. He made threes. He rebounded the ball. He had 9 assists. I mean, he He played a game that, I'm not sure anybody else in the league is capable of, honestly.
There's Draymond. He's open for three. It's on the way. It's short. It bounces up. It bounces in. It hits short. Bounced around the cylinder. His third triple of the night.
And all of a sudden, we hit a shot, and they're going crazier. And then we come back down, get another stop, and they're even louder. And, that helps us out a lot.
107-99. Here's Lillard. He'll drive down the lane. Goes up. Blocked by Draymond. He knocked it away again. What a block. Here comes Curry in transition. Curry hands off to KD. Comes hard left side. Dribbles in to the rim. He'll score. Timeout, Portland.
Defensive player of the year, and if they reach another conclusion, they just should stop handing the award out. I mean, Rudy Gobert has had a fine season. There's no doubt. He's been great. Nobody does what Draymond Green does. He is unique to the sport. He really, really is. And he was fantastic last night. Five blocks, two of them among the most dramatic at-the-rim blocks I have ever seen. And it was great. It was really, really, really great last night. I don't know if anybody in a Warrior uniform got great last night except for Draymond Green. You got a really good game out of JaVale McGee, a really good game out of Ian Clark. You had a good game out of Curry. You had a very good game out of Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson did not have a good game. Draymond was great. Absolutely great. Daring him to hit a three, he hits threes. Trying to go two-on-one, fast break on him, he'll block you at the rim. He ate Noah Vonleh's lunch. 888-957-9570. Draymond really is one of the cooler guys in the room, man. That's what it really disappointed me when he proved to be an unreliable weekly guest, because the guy's got interesting stuff to say, and he says it kind of with a twinkle in his eye. He was talking about how on court last night there was an awful lot of trash talking, and he was at the center, of course, of all of it. Here is Draymond.
We were talking back and forth the entire game, but that's, that's just a part of the game. It's mutual respect both ways. We've played those guys last year in the series, but, quite a bit over the last 4 or 5 years where, you kind of know them, they know you, but we all know each other off the floor as well. It's not like it's anyone out there being disrespectful towards another. It's simple fun. You talk, he hit a shot, he's talking to us. I hit a shot, I'm talking to them. I missed the dunk, he's telling me I need to do calf raises. And, it's good back and forth. It makes the game a lot funner, that's for sure.
That's amazing, by the way. You're backpedaling down the court with Draymond missing a dunk, and you're like, hey, man, calf raises. Remember they used to sell those weird platform shoes that were supposed to help you dunk in the back of magazines when magazines were an actual thing that you would read for information?
Yes.
Remember those elevated shoes? They were like sneakers on a platform, which basically made you run on the court on your tippy toes, which put a lot of stress on your calf, which made you stronger, which maybe, led you to dunk a year from now. That's funny. Got to do some calf raises. I tell you, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, if nothing else, should have earned your respect last night. And if they didn't, what they're about to say about Draymond trash talking will definitely earn your respect. CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard's stock, as far as I'm concerned, is through the roof right now. Listen to these guys when they were asked about Draymond talking the trash. They both admit neither of them is a big trash talker, but, when in Rome.
Where I'm from, if you talk trash to me, I'm going to talk trash to you. And there's nothing disrespectful. I'm not talking about nobody's mamas or anything like that. But I've known Draymond since he was at Michigan State, a little chubbier since he was chubby at Michigan State. Now he's done really well with himself. He's worked hard, and he's one of the best defenders in the NBA. But if I see something that I want to say, I'm going to say it, and he's going to do the same thing.
CJ McCollum talking about it. Now here's Dame.
I mean, I think having a guy like that on the floor, I think it raises the level of the game. Because I don't even talk trash, and he was saying so much out there that I had a whole lot to say tonight. And I think that's just good for the game. I think the league has softened up a lot, and it's not like that. So you got to have a rough guy like him out there. I think it's necessary, and I think their team, they depend on him to be that dog out there and to be that person. So for me, it's just going to make me raise the level of my game because I take it as a challenge. And I'm also, like CJ said, I'm going to take exception to it, and I'm going to say something back. And that's what it's going to be. As long as that's how he's approaching it, it's going to be coming right back.
Pretty good, man. pretty good. I mean, I got respect for all three of the guys in that equation right there. Everyone plays the right way, says the right thing, doesn't take it personally, knows it's part of the landscape of the game, and they appreciate it. I love the fact that Dame Lillard says, you know what, the NBA doesn't need less of that, they need more of that. The NBA needs guys like this. Chip on their shoulder guy. Play angry guy. Play like you care guy. Play like it's not about the zeros and the commas and the dollar sign, but it's about the heart and how much you really love the game. Draymond Green is paying huge respect to the game of basketball by playing like that. He really, really is. And for anyone who wants to just be like, well, you know, he gets too many texts, the guy's an embarrassment, like, just stop. You do not understand this sport. You do not understand this culture. You do not understand anything that is happening on that court if you look at Draymond and go, don't like it. Shame on you. You just got here, neophyte. Isn't that the right word? Neophyte? Isn't that like you're new here? All right, good. I'm glad we got that one right. This man is not a neophyte. He's been here a long time, listening, calling, imparting wisdom. Let's go to the home of, was that a paid-for protest? Berkeley, California? To find Big Gay John. How are you, Big Gay John?
I'm sleeping with your interns and doing calf raises.
Are you doing calf raises right now? That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm doing it right now, yeah. All right, so there's that. What Carl Anthony, Defensive Player of the Year. I love Ian Clark. I think Seth Roberts is the best third receiver in the NFL. What's with your Truman Capote impression when you talk about hockey?
Like, no, this is not Truman Capote, but thank you very much. I always thought that Ralph Barbieri sounded a little like Capote. Certainly the Philip Seymour Hoffman Capote.
That is my homage to Ralph.
I love that voice. It sounds like Truman Capote, though. And why won't the Giants buy a hitter? Like, you've got a starting pitcher who can hit two home runs and you lose the game.
Yeah.
By a left fielder. And I'll take the comments off the
thank
air.
You.
I love you guys. Take
thank
care.
You. We love you too, Big Gay John. Couldn't do the show without you, buddy. The whole thing with the Giants is they didn't need to plunk down any big money on any position player. Basically, they don't spend on guys that didn't come through their system that they're happy with. I mean, if the Giants aren't doing everything within their power to trade for Ryan Braun right now, even though I don't even like Ryan Braun, how about this? I'd rather dislike the left fielder that hit 30 home runs than really love the guy who can't hit his weight. Wouldn't you all? I mean, come on. Poke is in the Richmond. What's going on, Poke?
Hey, what's going on, D. Bruce? Hey, first of all, I heard the Kendrick Lamar music, man. You got to go get that new album, man. It's probably the best rap album out next to Rick Ross.
So okay, Poke. So you're like the third person to tell me that. I don't own a Kendrick Lamar nothing, but I need that album.
Yes, sir. You need that in your life. Trust me, man. It's okay. Good from intro to outro. So
I'm still all these years later, I'm still listening to X Clan to the East and Blackwards.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. X-Man
thank you.
Is beautiful, man.
Thank you. I like my rap angry and militant sometimes. They're perfect for me.
Well, yo, man, I'm angry about seeing Zaza Pachulia on the court, man. What do we got to do to get Steve Kerr to get less of Pachulia, man? Pachulia looked lost out there, man. It seemed like every time that we put JaVale McGee on the court, good things happen. And I understand not trying to break, you know what I'm saying, nothing if it's not fix nothing if it's not broken, but we got to get less of this man on the court, man.
Look, I will say this about, Poke, how do I want to, you know what, we got to take a break. When we come on back, Poke, I will address your comments. Well, oh no, we got Keith Law next. We just don't have enough time right now. I don't have that. That is a can that I need to get in, make a lot of.
You got to dive into it a little more, dissect it.
After Keith Law, who's coming up next to talk a little Major League Baseball, we'll get back to what Poke was talking about here on 95.7 The Game. As we try to track down Keith Law, it actually gives me time to address what Poke was asking about. talking about why Zaza still starts and why JaVale, who is 100 times better an athlete, is left to come off the bench. Okay, we got to break this down from a few angles. It's about what you need from what is on the floor. Zaza Pachulia can be hidden in the starting five almost the same way Patrick McCall was hidden in the starting five. You don't need any offense from Zaza. With all of that offense out there, you're looking for a guy who can rebound and set some screens. It does drive me nuts that Zaza Pachulia seems to be on the court in a prone, fallen over position more than any other person in the NBA. It also drives me nuts that anytime you pass Zaza, if you pass Zaza the ball five times on four different occasions, it will bounce off him into another player's hands or just out of bounds. And that's the truth. I mean, I like Zaza, but he is awful with the basketball. And no one looks less sure of himself on the offensive end. You put Zaza at the elbow with the ball, he is looking to do five different things before he actually shoots it. Because he doesn't need to shoot. He doesn't really want to shoot. JaVale. When you either got Curry, Durant, or Clay off the court and JaVale on the court can provide you the little bit of offense that you need in that second unit that you don't need. Here's the thing. You can hide Zaza in the starting five. We all know this team's real true center is Draymond Green anyway when they're going small. So you hide Zaza in the starting five. You go to JaVale to add a little sprinkles and whipped cream when the bench is out there. And he also provides those guttural moments where everybody gets a little bit more emotionally wrapped into the game when JaVale's playing well. Throws down a block, throws down an alley-oop. You don't need what JaVale gives you with that starting five. You absolutely need it in the second. And I'm no Zaza fan. I'm not. I'm sorry. I really wanted to like Zaza. I've seen enough now. He is Varejao with a better haircut. And a better song, too. You're right about that. He definitely has the better song between the two. Although we have not heard Varejao's song. So, I don't even know if anyone has one for him.
Vote Zaza Pachulia. Yeah.
How about this for a well-said text from the PenskeAutoSales.com text line? Damon, what you need to tell Polk is this about JaVale. JaVale is like a nasty curveball. It's only great when accompanied by a decent fastball. If you threw it every pitch, it wouldn't be as nasty. That's a pretty darn good sports cross-reference explanation. It really is. It is. JaVale is definitely better in short spurts than Zaza seems to be, but Zaza can give you, I don't even know, because here's the deal. Zaza starts and then he's not seen again the whole rest of the game. I mean, really, if you start the guy only to start the guy and then hardly play him a lick of the rest of the basketball game, by definition, something's a little odd. You see Zaza. At the start of the game, you'll see him at the start of halftime. He, what is it, 12, 13, 14 minutes a night? There's three other centers who play more than him, two others at least. I just think they have a winning formula. Why break it up now? I mean, that's what it looks like more than anything else. And I can tell you that Zaza signed for not very much money this year. And if he wanted to come back next year, not signing for very much money, I believe that they will turn around and say, let's not push it. Thanks for the memories. I think this is Zaza is one and done with the Golden State Warriors. And hopefully Damian Jones is ready to take his job soon enough. I mean, what did you draft that guy for? So we've called Keith. We've texted him. And we got denied. Didn't get through, so we will keep an eye on that, try to get him on a little bit later. Meanwhile, we got Mark in Oakland. Mark, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Just wanted to ask you, with Dame and McCollum basically just going off, is that pretty much the best haymaker, roundhouse, Hadouken that Portland could throw at the Warriors? And the fact that they still lost kind of like mess with the Blazers' mind, like, is that a big psychological advantage? Basically, we took it and smiled. Wondering what you think.
Well, yeah, thank you, Mark. I appreciate the call and the question. It's a good one. Let me let Steve Kerr answer that.
It's a great game. It was, to me, the perfect way to win game one. You get a real taste for what you're up against. You take a really good punch from your opponent. You see how good they are, but you're able to, you know, overcome everything and still get the win. So I like it. I liked the way our guys responded in the second half. Our fourth quarter defense in particular changed the game. That first group that started the fourth, their defense was great.
So Kerr is really happy with, I think, the performance that he got, not only from his team, but the performance that they were up against with the Portland Trailblazers playing so well through the first three quarters of that game. I think that if you're the Portland Trailblazers, you're sitting around over the next 2 days and you're a little worried here. You're officially a little worried. You know that you cannot get a better game out of your backcourt. Nobody helped your backcourt. I think the only reason to believe that the Portland Trailblazers have is if they get Nurkic back, and he is a wrinkle that just changes things enough to where they maybe pick up a game or two here. But yeah, last night is pretty much what you need to know about this series. That even with their backcourt playing their rear ends off, they're still not good enough to beat the Warriors. And that's just the way it is. There's a reality to it. It's not an opinion. I mean, it's just that's the way it is. As they're built right now, the Portland Trailblazers are not good enough to beat the Golden State Warriors in a seven-game series. And I know it, and you know it, and everyone participating in this series knows it. And there's no doubt that Portland looked at the result last night and just went, I don't know. What are we supposed to do? Nurkic comes back. What do you really expect from Nurkic missing all this time off of a broken leg? What do you really? Is that guy going to go for 25 and 20? No, that's not going to happen. I know he averaged like 15 and 12 when he was playing, but you know he would have to go full Shaquille O'Neal. I'm the best big man on the planet to get Portland even into this series. What do they call it? Moda Center? It's not the Rose Garden anymore. It's always the Rose Garden. When they get to the Rose Garden, maybe that crowd is nuts and, you know, you get to get. But again, what if Klay Thompson doesn't have a below average game by any way you want to measure it? Then what are they going to do? What are you going to do? Let's say Nurkic does show up and he's a nice little wrinkle for you. Let's say Klay goes for 33. That probably cancels it out. As you know, Game 2 starts early next month. At least that's the way it feels. Game 2 is going to be Wednesday. Warrior warm-up starts at 6 o'clock over at Oracle. Game 3 will shift to Portland. But that doesn't happen again until November. So
it feels like it.
They are really, really staggered out here. Just so you do know, though, that 95.7 The Game is your home for every single Warrior playoff game, whether it be radio, mobile, app, web streaming. We've got you covered. You will not miss a minute leading up to, during, or following any Warrior game this postseason. It's nice to have it here. Let's wrap up the hour with John in Concord. John, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Draymond. Thanks. Draymond. Hey, Damien, sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right.
Hey, you're the Draymond Green of radio, man. Let me just put it like that. You're a 5'12 player, jack of all trades. You know, you're well-rounded. But real quick on Draymond winning Defensive Player of the Year, man, he should have won it the past 2 years, if you ask me. And, you know, Draymond's just, he's smart, he's skilled, he's poised, he's a trash talker, he's a hard worker, he's a throwback player. You know, and if you love basketball, you can appreciate that. And I heard on a different radio show, it must have been Greg Papa, that they're taking the vote away from the radio people who call the games for each team to vote on MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. So I feel like Draymond might have got slighted in the past for winning the award, But there is no way you can tell me that Kawhi Leonard or Gobert has been better than Draymond this year. And like I was telling people last night, you either love Draymond or you hate him, but you can't deny that he plays defense. And
here's the thing. You either love Draymond or you don't understand what's important on a basketball court. Like, that's the way I would put it, because this guy gives you all the things that are hard to find yet critically important on a basketball court. He should be working on his third Defensive Player of the Year award right now, even though there are some metrics which will tell you, like,
Rudy Gobert was just a 0.3 better than Draymond in three different categories.
Yeah, but Draymond Green should have won this. This should be the third year in a row that he has won the Defensive Player of the Year award. It should be the third year in a row. So it's everything he's done this year and everything he's done in the years 2 years leading up to it. Sometimes it takes a while for that career achievement award to kick in. He has earned his career achievement award. When it comes to taking votes away from the radio guys, that's garbage. It really is. It's absolute garbage that a writer in Wyoming who goes to no NBA games because there's no NBA in Wyoming, he gets to keep his vote because he writes for a newspaper. But a person who's there watching every night, not biased, by the way. It's not like everyone would have voted just for their guys in all these instances. There's no way. There's no way. So it's too bad. It's too bad. Let's take the vote away from the person who's watching every night and really knows the most about it. That's very, very NBA, if you ask me. We need to take a quick break. When we come on back, a great hour is waiting for you. Tim Roy will join us at 5 o'clock. Adrian Wojnarowski, stay tuned. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.